Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verses 7 through 13 together. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being constantly desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses of God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth of the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Lord, what a wonderful place to come, a haven to come to, a place where we have our burdens, we have our heartaches, we have our needs, and yet we come here and it seems as though you lift those burdens and you heal those heartaches and you strengthen those needs. But Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Never again in history will this group of people be assembled exactly the same. Father, before you created the world, you knew this day would take place. Now do your work, please, through our preacher and in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, my sermon is going to be a very personal sermon. And when I say personal, it is to me, but it is to be a very personal sermon to you. If you walked in this building hand in hand with your husband or your wife, I want you to know this sermon is not to your marriage. It is to you, sir, as an individual. It is to you, ma'am, as an individual. If you came to church this morning as a family unit, I support the family unit and believe in it very, very strongly. But may I say that this sermon is not to your family. It is to mom and dad and every individual child, whether they're a child or a teenager. It's to you as an individual. I bring a sermon today to the Great Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We are a church family, but this sermon is not to the church family. It is to every individual in our church family. Now, honestly, I think today's sermon may be one of the most important that I have preached at this church. I have been here. Soon I will have been your pastor for 2 years. This may be the most important sermon that I've preached in 2 years. I'll not use a lot of humor this morning because of the seriousness of the topic of today. Now, to the members who were here on March 27, 2002, those that voted to call me as your pastor that night. You voted. 98% of this church said, we vote for you. We want you to be our pastor. To you, I'll remind you of some things in regard to your decision that night in allowing me the privilege of being the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. To the new people, to those of you that have joined us, and virtually by the hundreds and hundreds, people have joined us since that night. May I say to you, I'm going to be very honest with you about what I am and what this church will be as long as it is under my leadership as pastor. To be very honest, some of you will make a decision today whether or not you want this church to be your church. You will make a decision whether you want this type of Christianity based on today's sermon. Today, I'm going to use a word, and I thought it would be good if I described that word to you and define the word to you, because I want you to understand it as I use it. I'll use the word literal today, or in another form, I'll use the word literally today. I'll use it often, Now, what does the word literal or literally mean? If you got a Webster's dictionary, it would define it something like this. It means without exaggeration. If someone was literal, it means they were not exaggerating. If someone were literal, it would mean, if you were translating something, literally meant that it was translated word for word. It means being true to fact. Literal means actual or factual. No inaccuracy at all. Perfectly accurate. I'll use that term. I wanted to qualify it before I used it this morning. The title of my sermon is this: My Biggest Fear for You. My Biggest Fear for You. Or maybe I could say My Biggest Fear for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Let me give you one scripture again. We read it together earlier. You won't have to turn to it, but let me read it to you again. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 7, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, please give me your attention. Don't make me fight for that attention. Sit still from now to the end of the sermon, and I'll help you if you want help today. I think I can do that. My biggest fear for some of you in regard to my leadership as your pastor is I worry that you don't really believe the Bible. Do you really believe the Bible? My fear for you is that you will only accept the parts that are palatable to you. My fear is that you're not truly a believer of God's Word from cover to cover. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, let me read the verse to you again. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us," now someone is preaching the word of God to somebody, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Paul said this: "I thank God when you heard me preach the word of God, you didn't see it as the word of man. You saw it for what it was, the word of God. You received it not as the word of man." There are people sitting in this auditorium today, when you hear the Bible preached, you take it as the word of man. Paul said, "I thank God that when," Paul said, "when I preach, you took the preaching as the word of God. You saw it as the truth." But and the actual words he used there, "but as it is in truth." It is the truth. And there were some people in the church of Thessalonica, they said, "We took it for what it really was. It was the word of God." And then Paul said, "You then let it effectually work in you." Now, the way we know that you believe it's the word of God is you let it effectually work in you. He said, "What's that mean?" You let it affect you. And I don't just mean it makes you mad. I mean it affects the way you live. It affects your life. What happens is you hear the word of God preached and you say, "That's what God said. That's God's word. I will change and make my life what the Bible says it's supposed to be." And Paul said, "I thank God that you were like that." But my fear is that you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe that your entire life is to be governed by the word of God. When I candidated here, if you're new in the church, if you're a guest, I'll give you just a little history. I candidated here on March the 27th of 2002 to become the pastor. I preached a sermon. I came with the purpose of being an honest man. I did not try to trick this church into calling me his pastor. I actually know pastors that would go in somewhere and not tell the people what he was all about, hoping to trick them into calling him. I didn't want that kind of mess. I told you point blank who I was, what I stood for, and that I had 27 other churches asking me to consider becoming their pastor. I was honest. I preached a sermon. is called, "Please, Don't Vote for Me." And I began to tell you exactly what I stood for. And I said, "Don't bring me here unless we're all going to be on the same page. Don't bring me here. I have churches out there that believe exactly what I teach from the Bible, and they're out there. I don't have to struggle to look for one. But don't bring me here under false pretenses, just like I did not want to come here under false pretenses. My sermon, please don't vote for me. Let me remind you what I said. Don't vote for me if you don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. In other words, work salvation is a doctrine of the devil. And I will preach that dogmatically and very boldly. You're saved by grace through faith. I said, don't vote for me if you don't believe that Jesus was virgin born. I mean, I literally believe that Mary was a virgin. Literally. She had never had a physical relationship with a man. I said, please don't vote for me if you don't believe in baptism after salvation and by immersion. And that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's just a step of obedience. I said, please don't vote for me if you don't believe there's a real hell and a real heaven. Now, let me explain. I believe there's a real hell and a real heaven. It's not a game to me. It's very serious. I said, please don't vote for me if you don't believe in a triune God, or there is a God that has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's all one God, but He's got three personalities or three descriptions, if you will. You say, explain it. Sorry, I can't. I just believe it because the Bible says it. I said, don't vote for me if you don't believe in the local New Testament Baptist church. I told you then, I tell you now, I'm a Baptist. I am a Baptist. Period. This is a Baptist church. That's a Baptist school. I'm a Baptist. I don't apologize for that, nor will I apologize for that. I said, don't vote for me if you don't believe your own constitution, covenant, and bylaws. Because I read through them all to make sure they were scriptural, and indeed they are. Although, nowhere in the Bible does it teach bylaws and constitution. Right there is the bylaws and the constitution of the local New Testament church. It's the Bible. But because your bylaws and constitution are scriptural, we'll abide by it. I said, don't vote for me if you're not a strict King James Bible church. And I meant that literally. What do you mean? Word for word, the King James Bible is God's Word. See, I disagree with that. Well, I told you when I came what I was. I'm going to be what I am. I'm not changing it. And if I ever have to go, I'll go out believing the same thing when I came in. I was very honest. I will not support colleges that support. I will not support a Bible college that even tinkers with any other Bible than the King James Bible. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Anytime you hear me mention the Bible today, I'm talking about the King James Bible. I said, don't vote for me if you don't want to be a soul-winning church. I said, don't vote for me if you're not for world missions. I said, don't vote for me if you don't want to help the poor. And as you can see, we're going to bring little boys and girls off our bus routes in here, and we're going to get them safe. And they're going to be treated as royalty. They're not going to be treated as second-class citizens. We're going to turn our buses into Cadillacs and bring boys and girls to Jesus Christ, and they're going to be treated with dignity. And if you're rich, you're no more important to me than a little poor child, because there's no financial status when it comes to a soul. Remember, I told you, don't vote for me. I begged you, don't vote for me. Don't vote for me if we can't help the fallen. That means this. If there's somebody in the church and you go out and mess up your life royal, you embarrass yourself, you embarrass your Lord, you embarrass your church. I'll guarantee it. This preacher is going to help you rebuild your life. You will be welcome in this church, and we'll help you get back on track for God. We're not going to talk bad about you. We're not going to talk behind your back. Now, we will preach the truth, but we are going to help the fallen. We're not going to have a church full of hypocrites that run everybody off that makes a mistake or does wrong. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, doing the best we can to keep on going for God. I said, don't vote for me if you do not believe in ecclesiastical separation. You say, what's that mean? I'm not going to yoke up with all the other churches that don't believe this Bible.
If they don't believe the doctrines of the faith of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to yoke up with them. I'm not going to tolerate them. I'll even tell you of their fallacies. I'm commanded by God to let you know where the heretics are in life. I'm to protect my flock doctrinally. I said, don't vote for me if you expect me to build this church by myself. I said, don't vote for me unless you're pro-family. That means I'm against the sodomites. I said, don't vote for me if you don't believe in the bus ministry. I said, don't vote for me if you don't like the old-time religion. I'll tell you what, preacher, you can visit this church and the music here will be the old-time way. It won't be contemporary. It won't be rock and roll. We'll sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We won't dance while we sing. The people on this platform will be dressed decently and modestly and separate from the world. I said, don't vote for me. This here's the thing I'm telling you. I meant that. That was literal to me. You know, that 38-point outline called Please Don't Vote For Me, you might have taken it very lightly. I was as serious as a heart attack on a fat man in July. I was serious. I said, don't vote for me if you don't want to reach people. Don't vote for me if you won't pray for me. Don't vote for me if you don't want a pastor that influences the nation. God has given me a ministry across the nation. I plan to go to churches everywhere and say the kind of things I'm saying to you today to help the old-time religion stay the old-time religion so everybody's not throwing in the towel, putting a tail between their legs, and running from the truth in the old-time way. Don't vote for me if you're persisting in. I'm bothered by the effeminate men of our world, and I want a church full of men's men. And then I said, don't vote for me if you're for masculine women. Amen? Men and women are supposed to be different. They're to walk different, talk different. They're to dress different. I said, don't vote for me if you're for masculine women now. I said it. You might have said, whoa. Well, I thought you were just being lighthearted. No, I was telling you literally what I believed. I said, don't vote for me if you want rock and roll, country, or contemporary music in the church, because it won't happen. It won't happen. I said, don't vote for me if you're not for Christian education. I said it that way on purpose. I'm not for private education. I'm for Christian education. Martinsburg Christian Academy. I said, don't vote for me if you're not willing to let people grow. There are people that need to grow in the Lord, and they come in the church pretty rough. But that's okay. If you've got a heart to grow and you want to grow, you're in a growing place. I said, don't vote for me if you don't want a growing church. There's some people that they've got there for. They don't want no more. They don't want new parking lots. Hey, listen, every time Brother Dula comes to tell me that they're parking on the grass, I get excited. There are some churches, the board would have a baby if they found out that they parked on their precious grass. Boy, when we get so many people rolling in here, hearing the preaching of the Word of God, we don't have enough payment, we're going to park on the grass. If we have to, we'll park on the flowers. Because the souls of men are more important than flowers and grass. I said, don't vote for me if you expect me to be perfect, because I'm not. I said, don't vote for me if you think a church should be ran by the board. The Bible's very clear. There's no such thing as a deacon board in the Bible. It doesn't even exist. We have a board of men because we're required by the state of West Virginia to have representatives. You say, what's their job? The Bible teaches they're to take care of the widows and the fatherless. We're to feed hungry people. We're a bunch of servants, that's all. If you're here today, you say, well, I've never heard anything like this, and you've never heard anybody tell the truth before. Religion is so corrupt today. We've turned it into a bunch of ritual. We don't go by the old black book. Well, this is a church that believes the old black book. I said, don't vote for me if you don't want to follow me as the pastor. It's not because of who I am. It's because of whose I am. It is not because of me. It's because of the position that I fill. It's called the pastor. I said, don't vote for me if you will not treat my family right. Been in many churches where the pastor's family gets kicked and talked about and spit on and mistreated. I told you I'm not even coming here if you're going to act that way. I'll be good to your family, you be good to mine. I'll help your family when they're down, you help my family when we're down. And so you know, we're all human. And I said that night, I said this sermon is a contract between the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, its membership, and me. And God wrote it down at that. I said, you vote for me, you are signing the contract. You're saying, I agree. I want you to know, I really, literally, biblically believe everything I said to you that night. Literally, word for word, no exaggeration, no fairy tale, I believed it. But you know what I worry about? Do you know who I worry about? I worry about those of you that don't literally believe the Bible. My sermon's really simple today. Point number one, I literally believe the Bible. Yeah, there's a story in the Bible about a fellow by the name of Jonah. Jonah ran from God. He was supposed to go to a certain place and preach a revival. And Jonah did not want to do what God wanted him to do. So he fled from the presence of God. He got on a boat. He started floating on that boat away from the direction God wanted him to go. A great storm came. When that storm came, the Bible says the people on the ship said, we got to do something here. They went downstairs, the bottom of that ship. Jonah was there asleep. Why? Because sleeping's a good way to avoid the conviction of being backslidden. You got to figure out a way to avoid the fact that you know you're in a pickle. So many people that are not right with God would like to sleep their life away so they don't have to face their backslidden condition. Jonah was in the bottom of the boat. The storm was raging. They were about to sink, and the men on that ship said, we need to get rid of this guy. They took him and threw him off that ship. Now you've got this backslidden Baptist preacher that had been running from God. He's floating in the water, and the Bible says a whale came, and a whale swallowed that preacher. Do you want to know something? I believe that whale swallowed that preacher. Literally. Literally. That is not a fairy tale to me. Someone said, well, obviously, you don't know anything about science, because a whale's throat may not have been large enough for a human body to be swallowed. I'd say, obviously, you don't know anything about God, because God can do anything God chooses to do. And if the Bible says that that whale swallowed Jonah, guess what I believe? You're looking at an old-fashioned Baptist preacher that believes that the whale swallowed Jonah. Hey, let me add one to that, Sugar Plum. Had the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have believed that. And I seen a guy one day down at Ryan's, I believe, could have done it. I believe in a literal hell. Right now, there is a place called hell, and the people who have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior burn there right this second, this very moment. It's not a figment of imagination. There is a hell based on this book. I ask you a question today. Do you believe the Bible literally from cover to cover? I do. I believe it from cover to cover. I believe literally that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. It was not a spirit that arose. There are some that said, well, he wasn't dead. He swooned. Swooned means he just passed out. And then he woke up and came out of the grave. That is a lie out of a literal hell. He was dead. And he had victory over death and hell and the grave. I believe it literally. I believe in the virgin birth. It was not just a symbol or a sign. I believe that Jesus literally walked on the water. You say, that's humanly impossible. We're not talking about just a human. We're talking about the God-man. I believe that Moses literally parted the Red Sea. The Egyptians were chasing Moses and the children of Israel. They came to the Red Sea. The Bible says that God, using Moses, parted the Red Sea so millions of people could walk across on dry ground. You've always got somebody wanting to disprove God and disprove the Bible. Always. Someone said, well, really what it was, the Red Sea's water level was way, way down. And it was so far down that they walked across and it was a little creek. Had it been a creek, God would have called it a creek. Had it been a river, God would have called it a river. God said it was a Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. And I believe that. The father said to his son, son, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning? The little boy said, we learned about how Moses went behind enemy lines to rescue the Jews from the Egyptians. Moses ordered engineers to build a pontoon bridge. After the people crossed, he sent bombers back to blow up the bridge and the Egyptian tanks that were following after them. And the father said, whoa, 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 son. Are you telling me that's what your Sunday school teacher taught you today about Moses and the Red Sea? The little boy said, no, Dad. But if you heard what they tried to convince me of today, you'd like my story better. Well, you want to know something? I believe it the way the Bible says it. Moses and 3 million plus Israelites came to a vast sea called the Red Sea, and the power of God came upon Moses, and Moses lifted his hands and his staff, and the waves stood up and saluted the power of God and said, anything you need, sir, we're glad to do it. And they parted to the right and they parted to the left, and 3 million people passed across on dry ground. They got to the other side, and the enemy came into the sea thinking the very same dry ground was available to them. And Moses took his hands down and the water came back in and we drowned the Israelites. You say you believe that? Yes, I do. See, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Liberal theologians say that things that happen in the Bible, they were all just little symbols and signs. Liberal theologians are liars. They try to prove there's no hell. There's some reason why they must have a personal interest in disproving the place where they're going. When I came here as pastor, I told you what I believed. I don't think you really understood how literally I meant it. Don't be shocked if I stand up and teach you the Bible says thus and so, and this is what we're supposed to do. Didn't I tell you? It's been such a long time since most of Christianity met somebody that believes the Bible literally. I worry. I fear some of you don't literally believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? Seem like we would. Number two, I literally believe all the Bible. All of it. 39 books of the Old Testament, I believe them all. 27 books in the New Testament, I believe them all. Don't get mixed up. They print a Bible, and I'm not against this Bible, but it's a Bible that has what they call red letters. They say, there in the New Testament, those red letters, those are the words of Jesus. Did you know something? All the words in the Bible are the words of Jesus. The red letter is merely where Jesus spoke, but if you realize what the Bible says, everything in the book of Genesis came from Jesus Christ. Everything in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and all the way through the book of Malachi. Don't you try to convince me, well, those red letters are more important than those black letters in heaven. It's all printed in one ink. If you have a red letter edition Bible, I'm glad for you too. And I'm for it. I'm glad you have it. I'm not against a red letter edition of Bible, but I'm against somebody saying, well, hey, those red words are more important than those black words. No, red and yellow, black and white, all the words are precious in His sight. All of them are. All of them are. I literally believe the whole book from Genesis all the way through Revelation. These are the words of God, literally, word for word. It's all His word. I believe it. I believe it. But I fear some of you don't. Say, why? I can preach to you about changing your life and you just brush it off like you never heard it. Think about it. You can walk in here and walk out, and you can hear the preaching. It's almost like you just heard a song on a radio. It really doesn't mean anything to you. how in the world can we ignore the words of the God of the universe? I worry about some of you. I believe the Bible. I believe all the Bible. Do you? Do you literally believe every word of that black book? I do. You say, you're old-fashioned. Write me down as old-fashioned. Number three, I believe that the Bible teaches that a Christian's entire life should be consumed with following the Bible, literally and in every area of life. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. This sermon is quite deep. It's quite heavy. Because it's God trying to interrupt your thinking and thought process to make you realize He's supposed to be in it all the time. You don't pop in at church and think about God for 30 minutes and your commitment for the week is over with. I believe that the Bible teaches that a Christian's entire life should be consumed with following the Bible literally and in every area of your life. Listen, I believe Proverbs 5:21, literally, word for word, no exaggeration. Listen, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. You know what that says? Everywhere you go should be decided by God's word. When you go anywhere, you have to stop and say, is God for me going there? Would God be pleased if I were there? Is this some place where God would want me to be? Everywhere, Monday, everywhere, Tuesday, everywhere, Wednesday, everywhere, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You say, Sunday's the Lord's day. I got news for you. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day. Everywhere you go. That's in morning, noon, and night. We are to live realizing God pondereth the way that we go. And we are to go nowhere that God would not want us to go. All the time. All the time, folks in the balcony. All the time. Every day. All day long. Think about it. That's how literally I believe this book. I literally believe 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Listen. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Say, what's that mean? It means what it said. Whether therefore you eat. What you eat ought to be done to the glory of God. What you drink. If you can't drink it to the glory of God, then you're not supposed to drink it. And then God qualified, He goes on and says, whatsoever you do, do all your whole life, every moment of every day, every breath you take. Girls, stop writing notes and pay attention. All day long, every moment of every day should be in the will of God. And if it's not, you are backslidden away from God and denying Him what He rightly deserves. When you walk in here and you live for God for 30 minutes on Sunday, walk back out, live your life any way you want, you are in denial of the God of the universe. The Bible says all we do should please Him. Whatsoever therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All day long, every day, what you eat, what you drink. I literally believe the Bible, word for word. You say, me too, Brother Owens. Good. Good. I want you to. How about this one? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, that's saved people. If you're not saved, this might not make sense to you. If you are saved, then it doesn't make sense to you. You sure are away from God. You're so close that your logic is the logic of a lost person if you can't catch what God's saying. Listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He told us what we're to think on. Listen to these words as he described them. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and if there's something that we could praise God about, think on those things. Now you tell me what you watched on the television yesterday. You say, this is ridiculous. No, this is Bible. And our country is so deluded about what Christianity really is. You know what Paul said? Listen, this is what Paul said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, Paul was preaching the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, and which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what he's saying? He said, I stood up, I told you what the Bible said, and you believed it, you let it affect you to do good. You didn't walk out saying, well, that was Jeff Owens. No, that's God. Listen to this. I literally believe Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything you do should please Him. You should speak no word, not even one single word. That ought to take care of some of your filthy jokes. Some of the trash that we read. The songs that you sing. Well, tell me you're a good Christian when you're singing filthy rock and roll music that's talking about sex and drugs and perversion. He said every word. Every word that comes out of your mouth. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every word. Well, I tell you what, brother, once you just believe the whole thing, don't you? Yes. Yes. I believe the whole thing. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. It's the Bible. It's God's holy book. Listen to this. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you say, what's that mean? Everything. Everything. I literally believe Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. All thy ways acknowledge Him. But what does that word all there mean in Greek? All. It means all thy ways. What parts of your life will you not let God into? All. I literally believe that God created the earth. He created it and He rested. God created man and rested. God created woman, and since then neither God nor man has rested. Let me predict something for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Troubles for our church will come from people inside our church or outside our church who do not literally believe all the Bible. Let me tell you who the troublemakers are in my choir. It's the ones that only want to believe part of it. If I ever have a problem from a choir member, it'll be somebody that doesn't believe the book from cover to cover in every word. If I ever have any problem from somebody in the congregation, I'll tell you who you are. I could pick you out real quickly. You don't believe the entire Bible, because I'm an entire Bible believer. Someday I'm going to get up and preach some part of the Bible, and you're just not going to like it. And that's when your trouble will start. People on the outside of our church that don't like Brother Owens, let me tell you what they won't like about me. I'm an all-the-Bible believer. They're not going to be able to handle that. They want to pick out the parts that keep their church attendance up and keep their offerings up. I've got news for you. You can put all your money back in your pocket. I am not for sale. I'm going to preach that book no matter what comes in the offering, no matter what the attendance is around here. If you're a visitor, you say, well, you won't keep people this way. I've been preaching this way for 2 years. But I'm not out to build a big church. I'm out to build a church for God. See, the troubles for our church will come from people inside our church or outside our church that do not literally believe the Bible. Listen to this verse. Acts chapter 19, verse 8 and 9 says, "And went into the synagogue." Now that's church. Okay? "He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months." You think my sermons are long? He's my hero. "Spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." But listen now, listen carefully. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus." Paul boldly taught the word of God. The Bible says some of the people in the church had hardened hearts and they believed not. Then what did they do? The Bible says they spake evil to the multitude. Somebody in the church that didn't believe the whole Bible when the preacher preached it, they got a hard heart. Not only did they get a hard heart, they just flat out didn't believe it. So they went and spoke evil to the multitude of, the Bible says, of that way. They spoke evil of that way. What was that way? Somebody that dogmatically stood and said, "That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. That's how it's going to be done around here." They didn't like that. They spoke evil of that way, the Bible says. And the Bible says they spread their dislike for Paul, who literally believed the Bible. They wanted to dispute it. It was not Paul they doubted. It was God that they doubted. The Bible says that Paul separated his disciples from these unbelieving church attenders. Remember, they were in the synagogue. Let me read it to you again. Listen to this. I'll come in about midway through. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples." You know, there are actually people in this church today, you don't believe the Bible. You're a member. But you don't believe the Bible from cover to cover. Watch out. Those are the people in the church that will give you grief someday. You show me somebody that says, "I believe the book. Whether I like it or not is not the issue. I believe the book. If I have to change my life to match the book, that's fine. I love the book. I love the book. I'm going to live the book." Listen, you know, I hope you all really understand. You take Martinsburg Christian Academy. There are rules, guidelines, and standards for Martinsburg Christian Academy. Let me tell you who's going to give me a hard time about Martinsburg Christian Academy. People that put their kids in my school that don't believe that book. Those are the people. They'll pull their kids out of my school. Why? They don't believe the Bible. They get mad at me. Why? They don't believe the Bible. They're going to say, "Oh, that's ridiculous." Right. Then they'll go into the community and tell somebody what an idiot I am. Hello, Baptist preacher. Please. The Bible. What an idiot I am. Hey, you're looking at a full-fledged fool right here. Maybe I ought to turn my school over to the public school system, see what they can do with it. As soon as I get my metal detectors, my kill dogs, my police officers, my drug testing, got to get a lot of little cups for everybody to go to the bathroom in. Make sure my teachers aren't homos. See, if I can get everything in order, maybe I could go there and get a little help on how you ought to run a school. Or I could believe God. I could get some rules and put some scripture by those rules and say, "You're not to do this, you're to do this, you can't do that. God said so, this is how it's going to be." And there'll be people go, "Oh, that's ridiculous." Listen to this, Acts 17:5. "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason." Jason was the preacher. "And sought to bring him out to the people." What's happening here? Somebody didn't believe the preaching of Jason, got a bunch of low-down, scummy people together. They formed a company of negative, critical folks, and they attacked the man of God. He even attacked his house. Jews were religious people in Thessalonica. They came to church, but they didn't believe that the entire Bible was to be lived. The Bible says they moved with envy. You're going to find churches in this area that won't like me because my church is growing and I still preach the truth. A bunch of preachers put the tail between their legs a long time ago, dropped their standards, dropped their convictions, dropped their boldness. They quit on God thinking, well, in this day and age, you just can't tell the truth and God's still blessed. Hey, you are to tell the truth whether your church grows or not. They will launch out in envy. They're going to say, oh, well, I tell you what, I just don't like that. There are preachers that used to preach the same thing I'm preaching that wouldn't dare preach it today. It might split their church down the middle. Scared to death to tell the truth. Says they move with envy. See, non-Bible believers pulled lewd people, and people are the baser sort to them. These are vicious people, vicious with their words. They look for people who didn't believe. Here's what they do. They look for somebody that doesn't believe the part of the Bible they don't believe, and then they get a little company of people that don't believe that part of the Bible. Well, I don't believe that King James thing, so you watch out for people that come around my church here, and you hear someone, they're going around with their feelers saying, I don't believe that King James thing, do you? You do? Oh, I don't want to talk to you. I don't believe that King James thing, do you? Oh, you do? Oh, you're my kind. You come with us, and there's two of us. Let's go find somebody else. And see, here, when I find it, we'll shut you down. In Christian love. I'll protect the doctrine of this church. I don't like this. I don't like that. Some of you already get together. You have coffee on the telephone. You talk about what the two of you disagree with me on. You're forming a company to say, the part of the Bible I disagree with is this. How about you? I do too. Well, let's get together. There's strength in numbers, and wolves run in packs. Very few of them can stand on their own two feet. They look for people who didn't believe the part of the Bible they didn't believe, the part that they were rejecting. And they felt comfort in that. Hey, I found someone else that's rebellious. You make me feel comfortable. Let's the two of us rebel together so we don't have to feel bad. They formed a company or a group. The Bible says they set a whole city on an uproar. Their gossip, their slander. What it was, they were actually under conviction about their sin. They didn't want anybody telling them the difference between right and wrong, especially when they were wrong. So they said, well, I'll turn the city on this fella. Take a bigger city than Martinsburg to shut me up. Hurt the church's reputation, hurt the people's reputation. You know what they did? The Bible says they actually assaulted Jason, the preacher's house. Can you believe that? I wasn't here 2 months. My house was being egged, and my house was being paintballed, and my tires being sliced on my car. I didn't tell you about it because it just made me feel good. I said, hey, evidently got somebody's attention. I like attention, you see. Say, were you angry? Mm-mm. Upset? Nope. Nope. That's why I got pup kick. We got pup kick. You mess with us, pup kick. Pupcakes are dogs, so you all know. A little wimpy dog. Got it from Ronnie Schiff. It's all his fault. Listen to this. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, this group that I just told you about, the ones that attacked the preacher and everything else, start gathering people together. They were from Thessalonica. Listen to this. Acts 17, 11. These, the one we're about to talk about, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. These people that we're talking about were from a place called Berea. Notice the difference. They were noble people. These were noble people. They received the word with readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures. If the Bible said it, they said, that's what we want. We're studying the Bible. We want to learn the Bible. We're not trying to run from it. We really believe it. Hey, there's a story in the Bible of a man by the name of Jehudi. He cut words out of the Bible. Listen to this. He didn't like certain words in the Bible. So you know what he did? He took a knife, cut them out, burned it in the fire, and said, well, I take care of that. Listen to this. Jeremiah 36:23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You know what happened? The word of God had come to this guy. He didn't like part of it. He said, I'm going to take a pen, knife, I'm going to cut that out. He threw it in the fire and said, there we go. That's all taken care of. You'll never burn the existence of the word of God. You'll never get rid of it. He cut it out and burned it. Did you know burning part of the Word of God isn't going to change it one little lick? You know something? If you won't come back and hear me preach next week, you're still going to be responsible for what you heard today, and the preaching you're hearing today is pretty powerful, pretty heavy, and you'll give answer to God for the rest of your life for not living every day, every moment of every hour with Him in mind. You can go hide in some other church, you can go hide in some other denomination, but one of these days you'll stand before the God that wrote that book right there, the Holy God of the universe. You will stand before Him having heard one good, solid, strong backbone sermon that said, that book is to make every decision of every day, of every moment, of every life under the sound of my voice, and if you don't, you're in trouble with that God. So you can go find you another church and hide, but you'll still give answer for the one you heard here. You'll still give answer for it. See, changing the truth, cutting out the words or hiding from it won't change it. The people won't come back and hear me preach on Sunday night. They can't take anymore. Listen, if you literally believe all the Bible and believe you literally should live it, my fears for you are unfounded. If I prove something from the Bible to you, you say, okay, it's in the Bible, I'll do it. Then you got the right spirit. I had somebody come in our church come to me, come and say, well, what about thus and so? I said, can I show that to you in the Bible? And they said, no. No, don't want to learn that. At that very moment, they became responsible for it, whether they learned it or not, because I offered the truth and they rejected the truth knowledgeably. You want to ask me about something I believe? Come see me. Ladies, some of you need to come see me. Let's take the Bible. Let's see if I know what I'm talking about. Or do you say, no, I'm not doing it. Then you are responsible for it because you've rejected the opportunity to learn the truth. You know, if you really and literally believe the Bible, you won't spend your time criticizing Bible preaching and teaching. If you really and literally believe the Bible, then you'll make your life match what's preached. You won't get bitter. You won't attack rules, standards, guidelines, convictions. You won't cause disunity. You know what happens in a church where the people believe the literal truth of the Bible? The preacher can get up and preach anything without fear. Anything. Anything. Churches are packed full of people that don't believe the Bible, so the preacher can't get up and preach like I am today. People won't let it happen. Too rebellious in spirit. Been in the church a long time. I know it all. You're not going to move me. No, I'm not. You better move you, though. Some of you, you know, let me tell you something. Some of you have been in the church for a long time. You're still living your life in a rebellious way. God is more patient with somebody who was out drinking last night that will get saved this morning than He'll be with you. Somebody's living wild and wicked last night that has no training. God is going to be more patient with them than He'll be with you because you know better. You let the things of God become mundane and old hat. You've rejected Him so long, it doesn't bother you anymore, does it? You know, why don't you make a decision today? Why don't you decide? One thing, I will believe that book from cover to cover. And if God said it, that's it. I'll do it. There'll be lives changing so fast, just like that. Just like that. But here's your problem. You don't believe God. Right. What in the world would be stopping you if you did? Well, we got church full. We got a nation full of atheists. Let's see. Let's see how this sermon changes your life. we'll see if you can forget about it 2 hours after we leave today, and your life will go back to the same mess in the same areas. Well, this, you let it get a hold of you and say, you know what? I think I'm going to believe that book, all of it. Well, it's been almost 2 years ago. I came here, and you know what I did, Brother Tennis? Put it all on the line. Didn't lie to a person about what I am, what I stand for, and what I believe. I've tried to be a man of integrity. Didn't try to fool you into calling me. Let me ask you a question. You a Christian of integrity? Do you believe that book from cover to cover? Then what's stopping you? What's stopping you? Are you saved today? If you're not, I'd recommend you get saved. Because there's a literal hell. To get saved, you can go to a literal heaven. According to the Bible, your ticket's paid for in full. All you need to do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, Christian, what is it you've been fighting God about? What's wrong? Don't believe the Bible? There's some Christians that need your seats in a balcony. You need to leave your seat on this lower floor, come down here, get on your face and say, God, I am sorry. I have denied you what you wanted from me from that book. There's some of you were taught something a long time ago in your life. You still haven't given it to him. I don't even know what it is. You notice I've not really preached on sin this morning. I just preached on your belief in the book. There are people under deep conviction right this second. You notice it? How can you tell, Brother Owens, are people saying, I got to get out of here fast. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. You can run from him all you want. It won't change the truth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.